Hey, you're tuned in to the Verve Podcast live from the heart of Las Vegas, Nevada. Thanks for listening, and viva la Verve!
So I have a crazy bombshell announcement to make this morning. Gonna blow your mind. Today marks the kickoff of my birthday month. Yes, it marks the kickoff of my birthday month. That's right. Thank you so much. You're probably wondering, what are you even doing here? I mean, it's your birthday month. You should be like out celebrating. You should be out on the town. Well, rest assured that I kicked off my birthday month on birthday month Eve, which was last night, by going to a Blake Shelton concert. It was awesome and a great way to kick off, my birthday month. And the great news here, people, is it lasts a whole month, baby. That's what I'm talking about, a whole month. Oh, I can tell what some of you guys are thinking. You're thinking birthday month? You're like, no, man, it's not birthday month. It's birthday. That's why it has a word day in it. It's not, it's supposed to be like a single day out of the month, or you might even think a single day out of the entire year. And I get it. I really do. I used to be just like you. Royal party pooper. Yep, that's what you are, a royal party pooper. No. But that was back when I was younger, so as I have aged, I have as well saged, young grasshopper. Yes, I have. And I've come to the realization that a single day out of the year simply is not enough time to celebrate this. Really? No, I'm kidding. But thus, the birthday month, and I'm considering adding on time as my years progress. Is anyone with me? Yeah? All right, you got some birthday month people out there? I like it. But some of you, actually, you've probably stopped celebrating your birthday altogether, haven't you? This, like, the movement as we grow older is that we stop celebrating altogether. We're trying to hide our age. Maybe you're wishing that you could, like, turn back the clock. The Beatles song that we opened with is like your theme song. It's like, get back to my younger days. I don't know exactly how that song would go. But you have this idea that your best days are behind you. Yeah. And actually, if some of you had the opportunity to do some of those days all over again, you actually might go back and do them differently. Am I right? Yeah? Yeah, I think I'm right. I mean, it's kind of the same for me. But here's what I'm hoping to drive home today. It's a little gift from me, the birthday boy, to you right here at the beginning of my birthday month. Getting back to where you belong seldom means going back the way you came. Let's read that together. You ready? Getting back to where you belong seldom means going back the way you came. We're going to revisit this phrase all through this teaching. Now, sure, we all have things that we would do differently if we had it to do all over again. And we all have great times, I think, in our past that we can look back on and that we would love to experience again. But I believe that today God has each one of us right where he wants us. And believe it or not, God doesn't want us to go and get back to where we belong. He wants us to move forward into who we are becoming. Before we dive into the teaching, let's talk with God about that. Well, God, thank you for this day and for all these people that are gathered here as Verve. We're grateful for the life that you've entrusted to us, this breathing in and breathing out life, and the sort of life that you desire that we step into, a bigger, better sort of life that comes from you. Please teach us something new today. Help us to connect with one another, to connect with you, and may we step into a brighter future. In the name of Jesus. So, God doesn't want us to get back where we belong. He wants us to move forward into who we are becoming. So that's what our series, No Barriers, is all about. It's about tearing down what stands between us and God's dream for us. Now, if you want to follow along, we're going to be looking at a couple of documents found in the Bible called 1 Kings and 2 Kings. Maybe you brought a Bible with you. We have Bibles that are available back at the Velcro Bar for free. Happy birthday. Yeah, happy birthday to you. They're available for free. And I have another free resource for you. If you take your phone out and direct it to Bible.com, you can download an awesome Bible app for free. Happy birthday again. And that could be yours. And along with that, the verses are going to be on the screen right behind me as well. So a little backstory before we dive into 1 Kings 19. That's a chapter we're going to be in is 19, and the verses are 19 through 21. That's where we're headed. But it's a story about the prophet Elijah with a J. And Elijah is exhausted. And he has asked God to give him a successor. Now, a prophet is basically somebody who serves as like a mouthpiece for God. Goes where God tells him to go, says what God tells him to say. Oftentimes takes a beating for what they do. But God, and Elijah is exhausted from it, God tells Elijah, with that J-A-H, to go find Elisha, with an S-H-A, and anoint him as his successor. So we are going to pick up their encounter with one another in 1 Kings chapter 19. It says, Elijah went from there, and he found Elisha, son of Shaphat. He was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen, and he himself was driving the 12th pair. Elijah went up to him, and he threw his cloak around him. Now, I don't know if you see it in this verse or not, but there are some barriers to Elisha moving forward into who he is supposed to be becoming. There are some barriers to it. The first barrier that you see in this verse is he is plowing with 12 yoke of oxen. And you might wonder, well, how is that a barrier? Well, what this means is he is very, very wealthy. He's wealthy. And Jesus himself actually said that it's really hard for a rich person to step into the dream that God has for their life. So Elisha's got that against him. The second thing it says is he himself, Elisha, is driving the 12th pair. So this tells me that Elisha, he is a responsible guy. He's responsible, and he has a lot of responsibility as a result of it. And as crazy as it sounds, being responsible and taking on responsibility can actually serve as a barrier between us stepping into the dream that God has for our lives. And you might be like, that's crazy. That's insane. How could that possibly be true? Just a little example. If you are a responsible adult, you can probably go to the bank and you can probably get a loan for some money because you're a responsible sort of person. You pay your bills on time. So you go get a loan for some money. Now you have a responsibility to pay that money back to the bank. The more responsibility that you take upon yourself, the more difficult it is for you to be the mobile sort of person that God might desire you be. You're like, I can't just up and leave. I've got all these bills because I'm a responsible person and I have responsibility. So it can actually serve as a barrier between us and the dream that God has for us. I'm not saying don't be responsible. I'm saying if you're going to take on responsibility, do it wisely. So those are a couple of barriers that I see already in Elisha's life. It goes on, it says, Elisha then left his oxen and he ran after Elijah. Now remember, Elijah had thrown his cloak on Elisha. Elisha left his oxen and he ran after Elijah. He said, let me kiss my father and mother goodbye, he said, and then I will come with you. Another potential barrier, just a little side note, family. Family is a potential barrier, a love for home. Have you ever known that person who's like so talented or so gifted or so sharp, but they never rise up to their potential because, I mean, they're just like living at home. They're all about that instead of stepping out into the world and into more potential for their lives. I've known people like that. Go back, Elijah replied. Get back to where you once belonged. Great song. What have I done to you? But Elisha knew what Elijah had done. Elijah had issued an invitation for Elisha to become his servant and possibly to actually become his successor. That's what it meant whenever Elijah went and put his cloak, whenever Elijah the prophet went and put his cloak on Elisha. That was Elijah's way of saying, you're the one who's been chosen. Come and follow me and see what you can become. So, what does Elisha do? It says, Elisha left him and he went back. Yeah. He took his yoke of oxen and he slaughtered them. He burned the plowing equipment to cook the meat and he gave it to the people and they ate. Then he set out to follow Elijah and became his servant. You see, Elisha knew that getting back to where you belong seldom means going back the way you came. It seldom means that. He's not going to allow his wealth or his responsible nature to stand in the way as a barrier between himself and the life that God wants him to step into. He somehow knew that God doesn't want us to get back to where we belong. He wants us to move forward into who we are becoming. So, a question for you. What is your safety net? What is it that you need to burn today? Maybe it's wealth or stuff. Maybe it's the amount of responsibility that you have taken on yourself. Maybe it's an unhealthy relationship or a habit that you have that's holding you back. I highly doubt that it's plowing equipment. Plowing equipment? No, me neither. No plowing equipment. But we're going to pick up Elijah and Elisha's story in 2 Kings chapter 2. Now, at this point, they have been traveling a lot together. Elisha has been in the shadow of Elijah, and he's been following him everywhere and learning who Elijah was and how Elijah interacted with God. And the events that take place that we're going to read right now, they take place at the conclusion of Elijah and Elisha's relationship with one another. And it starts this way, 2 Kings chapter 2. It says, when the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven in a whirlwind, oh, crap, spoiler alert, I forgot to tell you, spoiler alert right there, that's how Elijah's story concludes. He's going to be taken up in a whirlwind. But Elijah and Elisha, they were on their way from Gilgal. They're on their way from Gilgal, all right? And Elijah said to Elisha, stay here. The Lord has sent me to Bethel. So what we need to understand about Gilgal is Gilgal was a prominent location for the nation of Israel. It had a lot of meaning. Gilgal was actually the first place that the Israelites set up camp after they had officially stepped into the dream of the promised land that God had given to them. They had been enslaved in Egypt prior to this. They had been wandering in the wilderness prior to this. But then God fulfilled the promise. The God of promise came through and he let them enter into the land of promise. So when they set up camp, they commemorated the God of promise by taking 12 stones. The nation of Israel is made up of 12 tribes or families. So each family leader took a stone to represent their family. They took 12 stones and they stood them up as a monument to the God of promise. And the name Gilgal, it actually means 12 stones. It actually means circle of stones, not 12 stones. It actually means circle of stones. So here they are. We have Elijah and Elisha. They are standing like right there near those stones. And Elijah says, Elisha, you should stay here. This is the land of promise. I mean, think of the history and the significance, Elisha, of this particular place. This is a great place to be. It's a great place to be. Question, what is your Gilgal? What's your Gilgal? What circle of stones do you look back on with longing in your life, thinking, oh man, man, those were the good old days. If only I could get back to that. That future had so much promise whenever I was in that location. It might be the early days or years of your marriage. Oh, if I could just get back, if we could just get back to that in our relationship. Or maybe you grew up in a small town where everybody knew your name and you're like, oh, now you're in Vegas and it's hard to even meet people. And you're thinking, oh, if I could just get back. What's your Gilgal? What do you look back on with longing? But Elisha said, as surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you. So they went on to Bethel. As good as Elijah made it sound, Elisha knew that getting back to where you belong seldom means going back the way you came. He knew that. I mean, sure, Gilgal had a lot of significance and great memories of the nation of Israel and what God had done in coming through with his promise, but Elisha was not going to look back because God doesn't want us to get back to where we belong. What does he want us to do? He wants us to move forward into who we are becoming. That's what he desires for us. The story goes on. It says, the company of the prophets at Bethel came to Elisha, and they asked him, do you know that the Lord is going to take your master from you today? Now understand, prophets, God speaks to and God speaks through prophets. So God had apparently let them know what was going to take place. Yes, I know, Elisha replied. So be quiet. Now, at this point in history, there were various company of prophets to whom and through whom God would speak. And Elijah was like a premier prophet. All these other prophets looked to Elijah as, oh, I aspire to be like Elijah. And this particular company of the prophets, they resided at Bethel, or Beth-El, would likely be a better pronunciation. Beth-El literally means house of God. El is God, and Beth, or Beit, means house. So this is the house of God. And the town was founded on the very land which one of their ancestors, the Israelites' ancestors, Jacob, had had an experience with God. Have you ever had an experience with God where you're like, wow, what is this place? Or what is going on? I can really feel the presence of God in this place. Well, Jacob had laid down to rest while he was on a journey, and he laid his head upon a stone because that's what we all lay our heads on whenever we're tired. We lay them on a stone. And he fell asleep. And he had a dream. He had a dream about a ladder that reached up to heaven from the earth. And on this ladder, angels of God were ascending and descending between heaven and earth. It was like a stairway that the angels went up to heaven, and in Led Zeppelin, they capitalized on this big time. It's like, and she's buying a stairway to... Anyway, you guys know that song, right? Yeah, that's the story. No, that's not the story, but I'm pretty sure they capitalized on that. So Jacob took this stone that he had fallen asleep on, and he set it up as a monument to the God who is present, the God of presence. Jacob sets the monument up. So this is where they are. Whenever Elijah says to him, stay here in Bethel, Elisha. This is the house of God. What better place could you choose to reside than the house of God? Who would not want to live here in God's presence? You could experience God every single day in this place, Elisha. Stay here, because the Lord has sent me to Jericho. Do you have a spiritual home? A place where you kind of encountered God for the first time? Maybe you have a season in your life where you're faith, like, it took on a new look, it stepped up, and you look back on that season with longing, and you're like, man, if I could just get back to that feeling, you know, to that feeling the presence of God, when my faith was growing in leaps and bounds. Oh my gosh, I wonder what happened to me? What happened to the passion that I used to know? What happened to that? Why don't I feel your presence like I used to, God? Some of you can relate to that. You remember those seasons, or you remember that spiritual home. Others of you, you're here at Verve because you're looking for a spiritual home. You're looking for the presence of God in your life. And I think that you can meet him here. But he won't want you to just stay. He wants you to step into a future, the future that he has for you. So Elisha replied, he said, as surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you. So they went on to Jericho. I won't stay here in Bethel, Elijah, even though it is the presence of God, even though it is the house of God. I won't stay because getting back to where you belong seldom means going back the way you came. And God doesn't want us to get back to where we belong. He wants us to move forward into who we are becoming. So Elisha's like, let's move forward, Elijah. Show the way. Let's go. The company of the prophets at Jericho, they went up to Elisha and they asked him, hey, do you know that the Lord is going to take your master from you today? Yes, I know, he replied. So be quiet. Then Elijah said to him, stay here. Stay here in Jericho because the Lord has sent me to the Jordan. So here we go again. I mean, Elijah has already tried to tempt Elisha with Gilgal and the God of promise. He's tried to tempt him with Bethel and the God of presence. He's like, stay here. He's trying now to tempt him with Jericho. Now, in case you weren't aware, Jericho is the place of victory. There was a city that stood between the Israelites and taking over the land of promise. And this city was Jericho, and it was fortified with walls that no army could penetrate. The Israelites did not stand a chance against Jericho, but if they did not win a victory against Jericho, then the promised land could never truly be theirs. So Elijah's like, do you need victory in your life, Elisha? Jericho, that's a place to be. This, remember the fortified city and God causing the walls to come crashing down after we marched around them 7 times? This is that place. It's the God of victory. The battle was impossible for them, Elisha, but nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible for the God of victory. He is the unstoppable God, like the band sang earlier, like we sang together earlier. The walls of the city came down. And Elijah seems to be asking Elisha, do you have any walls? Do you have any walls in your life that you feel like need to come down? And maybe today we could ask that question. What about you? What about you? What about me? Do you have any walls that need to come down? Any barriers that are standing between you and God's dream for you? Elijah says, man, Elisha, Jericho is the place to reside, the God of victory. Stay here, Elisha. And he replied, as surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you. So the two of them walked on. Walk on. Walk on. Why? Because getting back to where you belong seldom means going back the way you came. And God doesn't want us to get back to where we belong. God wants us, God wants you to move forward into who you're becoming. That's what God desires. It goes on, 50 men from the company of the prophets, they went and stood at a distance facing the place where Elijah and Elisha had stopped at the Jordan. Elijah took his cloak and he rolled it up and he struck the water with it. And the water divided to the right and to the left, and the two of them crossed over on dry ground. When they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, "Tell me, what can I do for you before I am taken from you? What can I do for you?" And today I think that God is asking you. God's asking you. He's saying, "Hey, what can I do for you? What can I do for you? Do you need courage? Do you need encouragement? You know, a place in your life where you need peace or you need direction. Maybe you need steadfastness or you need comfort. Maybe you're in a place in your life where you need provision. And God's asking, he's saying, "Hey, what can I do for you?" That's the question that Elijah poses to Elisha. And here's his answer. "Let me inherit a double portion of your spirit," Elisha replied. So this really struck me whenever I was reading through this in preparation. What Elisha is actually asking Elijah for, he's asking Elijah for Gilgal. He's asking Elijah for Gilgal and the God of promise. He's asking Elijah for Bethel and the God of presence. He's asking Elijah for Jericho. "I want Jericho and the God of victory." He's asking Elijah for the Jordan and for the God of miracles. He's asking Elijah for the Spirit of God that rests upon Elijah, and that Spirit is all of these things. Elijah kept tempting Elisha, saying, "Stay here and experience God in this manner, or this manner, or this manner, or this manner." And Elisha says, "I'm not biting. I'm not biting, because I know, Elijah, that you have the Spirit of God resting upon you, which means as long as I go with you, I have all of these things." And now he says, "Give me a double portion of what you have." "You have asked a difficult thing," Elijah said. "Yet, if you see me when I'm taken from you, it will be yours. Otherwise, it will not." Wow. So think about that. What if Elisha had stayed in Gilgal or Bethel or Jericho? What if he had stayed and not followed Elijah to the end? Elisha's potential would have been surrendered. And the same is true for you. And the same is true for me. When we settle for the past, we surrender our potential for the future. When we settle for our past, we surrender our potential for the future. Don't settle. Don't surrender. Press on. Step in. Step up. As they were walking along and talking together, suddenly a chariot of fire and horses of fire appeared and separated the two of them. And Elijah went up to heaven in a whirlwind. Elisha saw this and he cried out, "My father, my father, the chariots and horsemen of Israel." and Elisha saw him no more. Then he took hold of his garment and he tore it in two. Elisha then picked up Elijah's cloak that had fallen from him. Now remember, this is the same cloak that began Elisha's journey. This is the same cloak that Elijah had placed upon his shoulders back on the farm when he invited him to follow him. So he picked up the cloak that had fallen from him, and he went back and stood on the bank of the Jordan. He took the cloak that had fallen from Elijah, and he struck the water with it. And catch this, where now is the Lord, the God of Elijah? Where now is this spirit that was resting on Elijah, he asked. And when he struck the water, it divided to the right and to the left, and he crossed over. The company of the prophets from Jericho who were watching said, "The spirit of Elijah is resting on Elisha." And they went to meet him and bowed to the ground before him. So a few questions about Elisha. What if Elisha had declined, politely declined, Elijah's invitation to follow him back on the farm? Would Elisha have received a double portion? No, he wouldn't have. What if somewhere along the way, Elisha had given up the pursuit and he thought, you know what? I'm gonna stay in Bethel. That's a good place. I mean, it's the house of God and the presence of God. What if Elisha had chosen one of those places and stayed behind? Would he have inherited a double portion? No, he would not. What if whenever Elijah was taken up in the whirlwind, Elisha had torn his garment, swallowed up in grief? What if he had picked up the cloak and he had put it on him, tears streaming down his face, and he just sat down right there in mourning and decided, I cannot go on any longer? Would the double portion have meant anything at that point? If he had chosen to stay in that place? No. And here's the amazing thing. It's that we read that story as though it's something that happened in the past, and it is, but it's also something that is happening in the present. It's something that could be happening in each of our lives. Because Jesus, he has taken his cloak and he has placed it upon your shoulders. It's his invitation to you. It's his invitation to you to come and to follow him. He's asking you to journey with him. He's asking you to consider stepping into the promise. Consider becoming alive with his presence. Consider stepping forward in victory with him on your side, expecting the miraculous. Because if our God is not miraculous, then what is he? He is the God of miracles. He is the way maker. He is the promise keeper. And he is saying, don't settle for the past and surrender your potential for the future. Don't do that. Instead, get back to where you belong by moving forward into who you are becoming. That's what he's saying. I shared with you that today marked off the kickoff of my birthday month. Yeah, that is awesome. I'm excited about it. 31 days to go. Well, today could be the kickoff of your rebirth day month. What I mean by that, well, I'll use Jesus as an example. There was a man by the name of Nicodemus who was feeling stuck in his life. He was feeling stuck and like he could not step into the dream that God had for him. And Jesus said, Nicodemus, you need to be born again. That's what you need. That's what we all need. And it's as simple as believing that Jesus has tossed his cloak over your shoulders and invited you to follow. And he has. It's believing that he has made a way for you to step into the land of promise, to experience his presence, to live in victory, and to see him work miracles in and through you. It's as simple as believing and being baptized. See, just as a person experiences physical birth, anybody out here experience physical birth ever? I mean, I don't remember mine personally, but I was told that that happened in my life. Yeah, we have all experienced physical birth at some point. Actually, I think it was at the beginning of our lives. We've all experienced that. But we can experience rebirth, spiritual rebirth, through baptism. Baptism is when a person is buried in the water, laying down their life just as Jesus laid down his life for us, and raised out of the water into newness of life, just as Jesus was raised back to life to provide a new life for us. And we're celebrating baptisms next week as part of Verve's 10-year celebration. You can experience that for yourself. Imagine my birthday month, Verve's birthday month, and your rebirthday month. I think that would be an amazing thing. You can sign up to get baptized by stopping by the Velcro bar. You can take the Connect card that was on your seat when you came in and let us know that you would like to be baptized, and we'll get in touch with you throughout the week to talk with you about that. Maybe you've already done that. Maybe you've experienced a physical birth, of course, and you've experienced a spiritual rebirth through baptism, but you just feel like you got stuck somewhere along the journey. Maybe you feel like you need some people in your life to help get you unstuck, to help you take a next step. If that's you, next step is your best next step. Next Step meets on a weekly basis, just right outside these doors and across the hall during our 11 a.m. experience. So this experience, Next Step, is going on across the hall. And for a limited time, we're also offering Next Step on Wednesday nights starting at 6:30 p.m. It's a comfortable, laid-back environment where you can meet people. You can learn more about who God has created you to be, maybe learn something about the dream that he has for you, and most importantly, I think you'll take steps forward in becoming who God intends for you to become. We're going to give you a few minutes just to reflect on what we've been talking about, to reflect on the God of promise and presence, victory and miracles, maybe to kind of evaluate your own heart and determine where you feel like you're at in your journey. During this time, the band is going to come up and they're going to play another song, and we have communion available. Communion is located on these tables that are around the room, and on the tables you'll find a cup of juice and a piece of bread. The cup of juice represents Jesus' blood that was poured out for you, and the bread represents his body that was broken for you. And he gave himself so that we could step into a new type of life in him. If you'd like to participate in communion, you just approach those tables as a band plays and take a cup and a piece of bread back to your seat with you. Spend some time reflecting. Thank you guys for being here today. We're going to take a moment and talk with God. God, I wholeheartedly believe, truly, that you have a future for each of us. That you have things that you're excited about in our lives that we may not even know anything about. But God, because you go before us, you know, and you can lead us in that direction. I ask that you would reveal to us some next steps that we can take. Next steps that we can take individually in our journeys, and next steps that we can take as Verve. We look forward to a future with you. And we cannot wait to see the miracles that you're going to perform. Thank you for victory. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for loving us beyond measure. In the name of Jesus.